Good afternoon. I'm Ben Kielitosi. I'm from the University of South Carolina. I'm presenting this research. This was done, this intervention was actually conducted in North Carolina. My colleague is still at the University of Mount Olive, Bert Lewis, but he's been represented here too. We have nothing to disclose in terms of relationships. Our intervention was called Fitness by Design, and we're going to talk a lot about it and look at the 5-year results that we have from our study. So today I'm going to give you a description of the program, give you basic descriptive analysis that we conducted, give you some outcomes results, show you some pictures. Everybody has shown some nice things, and talk about some of our success keys. We were funded by Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina Foundation, and we also got some funding from most of our funding from KB Reynolds Charitable Trust. Our program was located in Mount Olive. Most of you might not know where Mount Olive is. It's about an hour away from Wilmington, but if you've ever had Mount Olive pickles, that's where we are. So the program basically was targeted at vulnerable populations. We got our clients referred to us from community health care centers. They had to be at the income level of Medicaid to qualify to come into the program. And it was built basically on almost the Biggest Loser model. So what we did was we got our clients referred in, and when they got referred in, they got matched up with a student. The student was an exercise science student or a leisure study student who had the skill set to act as a fitness buddy. The clients all had to be adults. They had to be obese, a BMI. Also had to commit and be willing to participate in 3 sessions in a week to stay in the program. If they could not participate in that, then they could not come into the program. Usually what happens when they get referred to us, there's an intake session done where we look at their health history. We had the linkages with their physicians since they were coming from the community health centers. That's just because we didn't want any liabilities and someone collapsed or died. We needed to know what they could do, what they couldn't do. And more importantly, critically, we had the client choose what their health goal was going to be. That meant you couldn't come in and say you only wanted to lose 1 pound. No, we got to do something. But then if you selected it yourself, you're more likely to walk towards your own self-directed goal. So we got that assigned, and then we also had the 4 components of this program, 3 components. We had the physical activity side. We had the nutrition side, where I had the nutritionist who helped take them around on tours of the grocery stores to get healthy foods. Most of the participants believe there's no way to eat healthy, as the healthier food doesn't taste nice. Again, this is rural North Carolina. And then there's a fitness garden also associated to this piece. Like I said, we standardized the kind of buddy system used by the students. They were trained by specialists. They work well with the clients, and we also had the garden manager who took care of the fitness garden piece of the program. The variables we used, though, we looked at while doing this, we collected data coming in. We using the PARQ physical activity readiness questionnaire. We collected that. We collected their health history information, all of that, and we tracked every client. Every 3 months we did assessments using MicroFit, so we were collecting kind of invasive measures. We measured waist, hip ratio, body circumference, biceps. We collected everything. We collected all the data. Blood pressure we had demographic information, gender, race, age. We were able to track their weight loss. We got their heartbeats per minute. And then we were able to create a composite score of a positive change, and we're looking at the positive change as based on the changes in their waist to hip ratios, their heartbeats per minute, if they lost weight, and the changes in their BMI. This is just giving you a description of those variables that we're looking at. We're collecting the sources of our collection, where we got our data from. Total blood pressure. We created a blood risk score out of the systolic and diastolic. If you take the lower bands and the upper bands of that, you can basically create a blood risk score. It's basically below 199 when you combine both is good. Anything above that, you go to prehypertensive, hypertensive score. So we can use that to track. First figure was just showing, so remember I talked about the fact that they had to come in for sessions, and we could track the sessions because each time they came into the gym, they had to basically scan to come into the gym, and then we could track them in terms of how long they stayed. So it gives you a mean of a track per month. We expected them to come in 3 times. On average, they came in 2 times. Some people did more than that every week. So in a month, on average, they were doing about 8, and so you do that over 4 weeks in a month, you get about 24 sessions to do. And so we could track, you could see some of the things we could see here. When it came to the holiday months, we always saw a drop because they're going for holidays, they're going to go eat. We try to do a social to remind them before you go binge on the turkeys and the Christmas. You're going to have to pay for it again when you come back. It's going to affect your weight goals, but it usually takes them some time before they come back. So you see drops in both January and December. Another place we saw a drop was in May, and that, again, we rationalized the people going back for summer holidays. It's cold. Now they get out of the cold, they're going to take a break and go back. Some of our peak months were mostly during fall, but basically we had that. One thing to also mention, if you track the colors code here, you'll see that 2013, we suddenly started seeing a dip. This program was run through a business school, and at the end of our funding, we only got funding for 3 years first, and then 1 year funding, and then I went cap in hand and got money from the overhead to keep it going for the fourth year. But by the fifth year, the university said, no, they got to pay for this. Now, remember that most of those folks are Medicaid population. And so the business school could not understand what I meant when I said, they can't afford $20. And so we made them pay $20. And so, whoop, they left. They started going. So that was a challenge. Top five reported comorbidities we had, high blood pressure was number one. Cholesterol was number two, diabetes was number three, heart conditions and asthma. And so we started looking after we've collected the data and done all of those things to see if there were correlations. Now, I always try to preface this when I present correlations, I'm not presenting causations. I'm just looking at associations, what's most associated when you look at your population sample. And there are some things that we found by race, for example, and, you know, it could just be the way we had the population. We had a lot more females in the population, mostly African Americans. We'll see some of that. And in terms of defining BMI, because we were doing all these invasive measures too, we were also looking at the pear shape. That's just the apple shape, so we could follow all of that. But we found when you the correlations to be strong based on if you lost weight, basically your waist to hip ratio went down. So we found that by race to be good for to be strongest than blacks. We also find that for waist circumference, it matched the same way. Those were the things that correlated mostly for blacks, basically. For whites, the major two populations we had were African Americans and whites. And again, this is rural, is representative of rural Eastern North Carolina. We had one Asian in the whole sample set. To go back to that, just to give you a context, for the 5 years, we had 320 people show up. Based on the rule that we set, we could only keep 218 of them because they didn't, you know, meet all the rules or targets that we set to them. And of those 218, the data I'm reporting on is 151, which meant that they came in for at least 96 sessions in a year so we could track them. So we had to exclude some of those high participants. Other correlations by race again, whites, not as much compared to blacks in terms of the correlations between reduction of waist circumference with weight loss. So we saw more of that in blacks compared to Caucasians. Again, those were the basic things that were correlated by race for whites. By gender, again, we looked at this. We had males and females, again, mostly females compared to males. For the males, we did not see as much of a correlation there. They do have some waist-to-hip ratio. We could not really explain some of that. But we did find, interestingly, that that diastolic blood pressures was directly correlated with loss in weight. For waist circumference too, it was a little bit, and that's a correlation matrix for males. By gender for females, the waist to hip ratio seems to be the largest way correlated by total weight loss. Waist circumference was not as much. Again, those were the major significant things that were correlated for. Interestingly, for females, it showed up more. The activities they were doing was most impactful on their blood pressures, and you could see some of them moving from normal, from the baseline score to the lower score for the year. So we saw that track, and even the most hypertensive ones went from 17.5 to 12.88 by the end of the year. Other physical activity outcomes that we could report that we found, again, going back to the things that we talked about, those four outcomes, almost 35% of the participants had a change in all four outcomes, almost 37% in at least two outcomes, and we did have 4.4% who did not have any change, and actually some of them actually gained weight. Average blood pressure declined from 81.31 to 75.125. Combined weight loss of about 9.45 inches for 92 of our participants. Total weight loss was 1,208 pounds. We got 50% within the 20 pounds category, 12, 21, 40, and 20 participants lost greater than 60. We had 20 clients move from an obese 2 status to obese 1 status. In terms of the fitness garden, that was the other component after the exercise science piece. We had a 14,000 square foot community garden. It was designed with physical activity in mind, so we had exertion level. I'm going to show you pictures. Those that medically were cleared to be able to do physical activity in the garden got the lowest beds. Those who had back problems or issues that kept them from bending, they got the higher beds. This were consistently oversubscribed. It was a problem for us because we anticipated not a lot of people who want to be in the sun working and trying to. The incentive we had there was whatever you grew with the agribusiness students, you took home. So what this did was it brought them and their families and everyone, and people were given tomatoes and squash and cucumbers and everything out there. It was just jovial for them. So we had about 60 clients participate in 200 to 250 pounds each year they got individually. They took it home. This is just some pictures of the fitness gardens. Those are the high raised beds that I was talking about. Moderate accession, the shorter raised bed, because again, we wanted them to also be doing something while they were out in the garden. And then if you were cleared by your physician to do something, then we gave you the lowest bed so we could get you down. Other results. Well, one of the things that we found that was not planned for when we did this, it was basically an intervention study in lifestyle in terms of obesity. We had participants taking off their medication. And the way we found that, we had about 22 participants who were taking off depression medication. Well, because most times when you have, again, we had a very an obese population, they tend to stay at home. They don't have a lot of self-esteem, and so basically it's a cycle, it's a self-fulfilling cycle. You stay at home, you eat more, you gain more weight, you don't go out, you get more depressed. When they came out and saw people like them, they got really excited, and so they started working together, and it just changed. It just changed. There were things like the You Go Girl Network, and now this is the South, so you had the You Go Girls, my best story there, so there's this five African-American ladies, about 72 to 80, and they watched themselves in terms of what they ate. They saw, one of them saw the otter going into a buffet, Chinese buffet. And so she and a friend drove back to see what she was going to eat. And the friend came out, luckily on time, and said, no, I got salad, I got this, I got. But it was that kind of thing. They were basically self-monitoring themselves over time. And then we got sermon on the go. We had this two clergy who were part of the group who would basically be on the treadmill, and they'll be talking about how did they receive your sermon last week on Sunday? And they're working out and talking. And so beyond just the physical activity and things, there were dimensions that were built that actually built strengths within this population. Success, the community is key to the success. The students were key. There were bonds built between the fitness buddies and the participants that were wonderful. The participants actually looked at the students in terms of, well, can we give them some wisdom and things to learn? So it worked really well. Just special thanks to everyone that participated, and thank you.